Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a great Monday. Thanks for being with us. It's good to be back. Man, I got knocked flat last week. It was just rough. So thanks to Jared and everyone for filling in and picking up the slack. The Coyotes, I'm going to lead with them just briefly here. There's a 11 a.m. press conference that will be talked about from the league about the Coyotes moving to a deal that will include Tempe and Mesa, which is very good news. So that is coming up. That is just breaking as we're sitting here. And I'll have some thoughts on that as we go along. Peter King will be with us in about 15 minutes. We'll have Peter on via Skype from New York. A terrific NFL Sunday. And I have to just say this right off the top. I wasn't here last week during the election. Obviously, when you're flat, just dead to the world, you can lay around and consume and watch and everything that took place. Sports has a great spot in our country. We are very passionate about our sports, and rightly so. And this last yesterday, I went to the Cardinal game, just excited to have a game. Okay, I was very excited. Those of you that watch me through the years, you know that the NFL, I think, has gotten just overly in your face that we're the greatest thing ever, which means whenever somebody has to tell you how great they are, it means they're not that great. So I don't need to have all this bravado. You know, just do your thing. And I just put that off to the side. I love the coaches. I love the players. I love the action. I don't love how the league is taking the fun out of it. I don't love how the refereeing seems to stink most week. I don't like how there's a lot of mediocre teams, but I do like NFL football. As much as Saturday night, if you're a college football fan, how did you not like that? Friday night, I was at an overtime football game where they went into overtime at 50. So my weekend is always Friday night high school, Saturday college, Sunday pro. I'm not just one, I'm all. And it was great to be out at sporting events because I just sensed all the uneasiness and the angst and the anger. And man, these people go on social media and say, my candidate won and you're stupid for voting for the other side. And then the other side's like, well, this candidate stinks. And it was just so negative and divisive, and everybody wants to be the smartest person in the room versus let's just go out to a sporting event and enjoy the night. And be blessed that we can go out and enjoy watching sports, whether I'm sitting in a press box like yesterday with the Cardinals game, or on my couch scratching myself with a t-shirt on watching college football Saturday night screaming at the TV, or Friday night at a high school game standing there watching Hamilton play Perry. I mean, it all works together. So it was great to have NFL football back, and the games yesterday were terrific. You know, the Cardinals sat there with an NFC West matchup that on surface, they should have just pounded San Francisco. And there were parts of the game that I looked at and said, wow, this team really isn't that good. And there's other sides of it where, wow, Chandler Jones, how can they find a way to keep him here? Is he going to want Von Miller type of money? Should the Cardinals look at that type of contract for Chandler Jones? He's putting up crazy numbers. I'll talk with Peter King about Chandler Jones here in about 10 minutes. You know, the Cowboys-Steeler game was just awesome. It's awesome football, the way things... I don't know if Kansas City's winning games. I don't. They don't look that great. Last night's game, if you're a Cardinal fan, the last play of the game with Seattle and New England, you're screaming, ah, he was interfered with. Ah, the Seahawks, you know, they get a break. The NFL looks the other way. They want Seattle to win. Oh, Brady and the league. Oh, they should have called that, but no. Would have helped the Cardinals out quite a bit if Seattle lost last night. Because I don't see where there's going to be, and I could be dead flat wrong on this, I just don't see where there's a second team coming out of the NFC West this year. I don't see it. Now, the Cardinals have three of their next four on the road and 11 a.m. start times. We've heard all about this early body clock stuff forever. But three of their next four on the road and 11 a.m. kicks. I don't really care about that stuff, but some of you are all wound up about it, so I have to throw it out there. You know, yesterday, Carson continues to look like, at moments, terrific. And other moments, it's why have we waited so long here? You know, if Dallas can go find Dak Prescott, why haven't the Cardinals been able to find the long-term answer? I think it's very fair to raise that. And I've been banging that drum for 2 years now, saying you've got to get somebody in the pipeline. You've got to get somebody in the pipeline. And they may go out next year and find a veteran, but this cannot continue. We all see it. Look, at the end with Kurt, it wasn't easy to watch at times either. You know, Kurt's getting smoked back there. Carson, there's throws that he's used to make that he's not making, and his receivers are bailing him out. And then there's times where he's making amazing throws. Okay, but I don't see the consistency out of Carson Palmer. And people that just want to put that over to the side and say all is well, you know, all is well. No, it's not. But it was a nice win for them yesterday. Look, I wrote yesterday they should have drilled the 49ers before the game. I went out there 3 hours before just to talk to fans that were still torn up over the election. And there were lots of them. There are lots of people on the Great Lawn that were not fully focused on enjoying a game until they started getting into it a little bit. So how's this week been for you? It's been so tough. I want to boo that bleeping Kaepernick. He's everything that's wrong with our country. I mean, I heard all that stuff yesterday. So, you know, they get a win and you can't make too much out of it. You can't. Every week's an elimination week for this team. Probably two. In my view, they could probably drop a game or two most and still find a way to get it done. Because, look, if you look over at teams like Green Bay, and they stink, and Minnesota, they stink. But you look at where Philadelphia is, and you look at where the Cowboys are, you got to figure Philadelphia is going to make it in there, right? You look at where Detroit is this year. Like this Sunday's game for the Cardinals against Minnesota, I'm moving on from the 49ers. I am moving on. If Colin Kaepernick's receivers catch a couple balls, I think we probably are talking a different result. Look, if you watched that game yesterday, I'm talking wide open to the end zone, flat drops in the final 3 minutes of the game. Then we'll probably have a different discussion today. But nonetheless, they've won, so let's just move forward. That's all you can do here if you're a Cardinal fan. As I watch it, you've got an elimination game this week. At Minnesota. You know, Minnesota hasn't won a game in a month. Then you've got to go back east to play Atlanta, a team that's got a lot of talent, a lot of juice. And then you come home to Washington, a team that's been up and down this season. I don't see where the Cardinals are better than these teams across the board, but I'll tell you, with Chandler Jones out there and Marcus Golden, to an extent, he's not been as dominant in my view in the last couple of games, but he's been very, very good. So there's things to build on. It's not a bad team out here. It's just all these teams that are in the middle. Like Carolina yesterday losing the way that they lost yesterday. I thought Carolina was starting to zoom. I thought they were going to be the team that rockets up. I can't say that now. So, you know, on the Cardinals front, it's just another win and let's move forward. So we'll have Peter here in a few minutes. The college football scene was beyond spectacular. It really was. On Saturday, it looked like a game, or weekend rather, that was just going to be a bunch of games. Like the most attractive game was USC at Washington, right? Michigan going to Iowa, that's not going to be any contest. Pitt against Clemson, that's not going to be any contest. And yet there we were watching on Saturday, late Saturday afternoon, Clemson goes down. Dabo Sweeney made some play calls. I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. So they fall. And then I'm watching USC in Washington, and USC just kicked their tails from start to finish. We talked earlier in the year that Clay Helton was probably a coach in jeopardy the first 2-3 weeks of the year after what happened against Alabama and how USC just wasn't very good out of the gate. I would not want to play USC now if I'm any of these teams outside of Alabama. There's one thing that's very clear on the college football scene this season, and that is Alabama is going to steamroll in all likelihood, Alabama is going to steamroll any of the teams that get into the Final Four. Probably going to steamroll them. You know, the one guy I would like to see Alabama play is Louisville. I'd like to see Lamar Jackson against Alabama's defensive front. Lamar Jackson is terrific. I love watching him play. And as a Heisman voter, I've got to look at him right now and say he's probably the leader. Jake Browning is no longer on my list. But, as the games were moving through Saturday night, I'm watching USC with all this talent and a quarterback that's come together. When I say all this talent, all the athleticism they have out there, we all would take Juju Smith and Adoree Jackson on our teams. We would. Sam Darnold I'd take as my quarterback right now. And then, of course, I'm thinking, how does this impact Arizona State and U of A? Have all the uncertainty that's been around USC, have the Sun Devils and the Wildcats miss the opportunity to capitalize and be the beasts of the Pac-12 South, not just in 2016, okay? I think this was a transition year in a lot of people's minds. I didn't expect Arizona State's defense to be just so abhorrent and just get crushed every week. I did not expect to be the worst-ranked defense in the nation. I mean, I knew last year in the bowl game when they were bad, but I didn't think it could get any worse, and it's just gotten worse. So I'm watching USC, and in my mind, it's they're going to lap UCLA. That's not going to be a game. And so then you have Colorado, and you have Utah. Now, Washington loses on Saturday night. Are they immediately eliminated from discussion for the college football playoff? And the answer is no. Washington won't be one of the teams ranked this week in the top four. I'm sure of that. I'm sure shooting that that's going to be the case. You got to believe Ohio State's going to move in there. But look, Washington has ASU this week, which I think they drill. Unless the wheels have come off for Chris Peterson, they drill the Sun Devils, and that sets up Washington State, Washington next week. And Washington State is a riser. They're a top 20 program. Then Washington goes into the Pac-12 championship game. Okay? Pac-12 championship game could be USC again, Colorado, or Utah. So their resume is only going to get better, right? You would think that. In a year where the Pac-12 South, or the Pac-12 overall, has been down, there still is a path there for Washington, which I think is really interesting. I'm watching that game, and the way that USC just manhandled them, it really wasn't much of a contest. The first two series, you could see USC was impacted by the crowd. You could see that there was the momentum on Washington's side. And then the Trojans just settled in, and they were the better team. They were the more physical team. As much as there's people here in the Valley that hate USC more than they hate U of A. USC is just better. So you look at that game, and then I flip over and see the end of the Michigan game. So let's go over to the Big Ten. So you have Wisconsin that's sitting there. Oh, by the way, guess who's on the College Football Playoff Committee? Barry Alvarez is. What a shock. Barry Alvarez is part of the CFP. Do you think he's got any ideas towards, I got to make sure Wisconsin gets through or the Big Ten gets through? Of course he does. Of course he does. So if Ohio State wins out, if Michigan comes back around in Wisconsin, and you throw Penn State in the mix, it was just awesome what was going on in college football on Saturday night. And it had nothing to do with diving TV ratings, had nothing to do with bad officiating. There's always going to be bad officiating. I was trying to sit through the U of A Colorado game Saturday night. The officiating was horrendous. It's just part of the narrative. But it was just terrific all the way around. A little late here. Peter King is next via Skype, the Monday Morning Quarterback, SI.com, and of course, NBC Sunday Night Football's Peter King. On the other side, we'll talk about the Cardinals, things around the NFL, and much more. Paula Bovin in about 15 minutes. I'm Brad Sussman. And now Peter King joins us via Skype, the Monday Morning Quarterback, the MMQB. Great reading day in, day out. Not just Peter's stuff, but his whole staff as well. So I want to get away from the Cardinals for a bit and just talk big picture here. You and I, a couple of weeks back, talked about how the NFL, maybe post-election, we'll see if things bounce back. Just an unbelievable Sunday, the best Sunday, not just this year, but in a long, long time with nip and tuck games. Is this the bounce back time? Are you interested to see with the election behind us, Peter, if the NFL bounces back?
Well, the first Sunday night game had a rating, I think it was 14-2, and last year, a year ago, same weekend, it was somewhere in the 12s. So it went up about 10%. Year over year, week over week, last year to this year. So I think that's probably a good sign. I think it's still going to be a while. And I also think, look, the election doesn't explain everything, Brad. And, you know, I just maintain I have this Wednesday. You'll be interested. Everybody in our business will be interested to hear Brian Rolopp, the NFL's executive vice president of media. And basically he has been for a month. He's been meeting and trying to get to the bottom of the ratings decline, the precipitous decline. And there's a bunch of, we talk a lot on there. The one thing I really take away from that is that, so the NFL is really minimizing the effect of red zone. And so I have to tell you that, especially for the early window, when there's 7, 8, 9 games on, unless there is a mega game on, I watch the red zone for 3 hours. So I wanted to find out how exactly is that rating done. And because the red zone channel isn't a full-time channel, it basically exists for 7 hours a week, 17 weeks a year, you know? And so you can't, even though you can get it, it's a pay service, which I do. Even though you can get it, I think the NFL feels that because it can't be measured by the regular rating services, it's not really that big a factor. And yet, on an average Sunday, about 1 million viewers watch that channel. And I think that's a pretty big number, because if you consider that any given time on a Sunday, there's approximately 11 million people watching NFL football on average. Well, if there's a total of 1 million watching it, that means maybe 6 or 8 or 10% at a given time, not consistently.
Right.
But
right.
At a given time will not get measured by the regular rating services, and so obviously they'd be in decline. But I must say that does not apply at all to Monday night, Sunday night, Thursday night, all of which are down precipitously. That is the reason why the NFL doesn't think it's that big a deal. But still, 1 million viewers in a 7 hour period that aren't watching your regular product but are watching this other product, I still think that's fairly significant.
And I don't want to go too far into this because the games Sunday were so good. But one last point, I thought it was pretty ironic. I'm watching Tom Brady in the closing seconds against Seattle thinking, Commissioner Goodell's hoping these rating points goes up and it's on the back of number 12. No disrespect to Seattle, but I think there's a little bit of irony going on there too, that if the Patriots are really, really good and in compelling games and Tom's on the field, things happen. That's just my little aside to all of this stuff.
Well, you know what? Just very quickly, I believe that when the NFL has studied what exactly is happening this year, a top three reason is no Peyton Manning for 10 weeks,
right?
No Tom Brady for the first month of the season. Those were the two biggest ratings draws in the NFL, and they were both gone until October.
Peter King with us, the Monday morning quarterback. We look at the NFC, so Arizona wins. They're 4-4-1. They're circling the drain. They're trying to hang in there. But as you look at the rest of the NFC, the middle of the pack, not where the Cowboys are, I'll get to them in a second, do you see a path in Arizona for them to make it to the postseason?
Well, yeah, because I don't think, if you look at some of the traditional power teams, and the teams that even were playing very well at the beginning of the year, many are crashing and burning. I mean, at the beginning of the year, I thought there'd be two playoff teams from the NFC North. And now, obviously, there's only going to be one. The Packers have crashed and burned. The Vikings have lost 4 in a row. I mean, as of this morning, the Lions are tied for first place with 7 games to go with the Minnesota Vikings. It's crazy. And so I don't think beyond the 4 division winners that I could tell you, you could tell me right now, who's a shoe-in to make the playoffs. I might guess right now Philadelphia would be one team. But after that, you know, I don't know. Yes, before yesterday, I would have said Carolina would be the other one because they were hot. But then they They gave up 17 points in the last 13 minutes. I mean, the Chiefs, no one has any idea how they win. It's a mirage. I mean, you know, nobody knows how they win, but every week they win. And I think our Andy Benoit at the MMQB explained it pretty well today with a really different kind of defense that's hard to solve and hard to score a lot of points on. But anyway, Brad, I think the biggest thing is if the Cardinals play the way that they can play at their peak, they will make the playoffs. I don't care that five of the last seven are on the road. I don't care that three of the next four are 10 o'clock body clock games or whatever they are, you know, East Coast early game.
Sure, sure.
I don't care about that. If they play the way they can play at their peak, they're going to make the playoffs, and they'll win whatever, 10 games, maybe 11, probably 10. But that is a very, very big if. I watched a good chunk of the game yesterday, flipping back and forth, and you know, there's just something wrong. The offense isn't clicking. I think that, as you know, as everybody knows, just my feeling that this needs to be a David Johnson offense and a Larry Fitzgerald slot offense. You know, I mean, as much as you want to air it out downfield, Carson Palmer is just not the deep ball thrower this year that he was a year ago. And now it's all about winning games, not trying to force, you know, the deep passing game.
A couple other questions with Peter King. We'll let him go. The MMQB. Chandler Jones has come here as a big move for Steve Keim in the offseason. He is having a terrific year from a productivity standpoint. They are negotiating to try to get something done here. A, what have you seen out of Chandler Jones? B, does Bill Belichick miss him, in your opinion?
I think Bill Belichick misses him, Brad, but I don't think Bill Belichick really wants to pay Chandler Jones $13 or $14 million a year. And that's probably what it would take minimum. I think he's a good player and occasionally is incredibly good. I thought he had some pass rushes against the Seattle Seahawks in the game in Glendale that were otherworldly. And again, it's I like him. And I think the Cardinals should try to find every way to keep him. But I'm not paying him $18 million a year. He's not getting in Von Miller's zip code. And look, I like Chandler Jones. I really do. But I think you have to, especially with all the players that the Cardinals are going to have to pay, you can't add an $18 million cap hit to that. And as far as where he might go, look, I had an item in my column today from Jason Fitzgerald of OverTheCap.com. I mean, and there are teams out there right now, today, that in 2017 have 80, 91, has over $100 million in cap room next year. So I think somebody's probably going to pay Chandler Jones. It's my gut feeling. But I wouldn't go crazy if I were Arizona.
One last question. This is about the NFC and just big broad. The Cowboys being relevant in a big way. I mean, not just being relevant, being big time back on top. What does it mean for the league, and do you buy into them long term?
Well, you know, last night after their game in Pittsburgh, I was talking to Jason Witten, and he said, you know, basically the youth on the team, particularly Elliott and Prescott, is really energizing. You know, Witten's 34 years old, his 14th year. You'd think he'd be on his last legs, but he said, I'm so excited to come to work. And he said, one of the reasons I'm excited is, and I'm paraphrasing here, is that I come to work on Monday, and there they are, those two guys. All they want to do is work. They've already forgotten the glory of the previous day, and they're just working on the next one. And I think they understand, they've got the maturity to know that, I mean, it was a good example. I mean, the Baltimore Ravens are one of the best run defense teams in football. Everybody will look at the schedule and say, man, the Ravens stink. They'll be easy this week for the Cowboys at home. I don't think so. I think that the Cowboys are really going to have to work. But the thing that I'm saying is I don't think that those two guys are going to take it lightly. I'm just going to say that the Cowboys still need some big pieces on defense. Just as much as they helped their offense in 2016, They have to help their defense next year. And although the reports are good on Jalen Smith, the Notre Dame linebacker whose career was forever altered in Arizona in the Fiesta Bowl a year ago, you know, they need Jalen Smith to come back in a big way, not only for what he can do on the field, but as Jason Garrett told me around the time of the draft, he will be the long-term leader of our team. That's the kind of quality person he is. So I do think the Cowboys are going to be good. I just think they're going to need an influx of good defensive players to be good for a long time.
Appreciate your time as always, Peter. Enjoy your day. Thanks.
Thank you, Brad.
Peter King, the Monday morning quarterback with us via Skype, right there in his offices. Appreciate his time. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central Sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussmat.
News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist Paula Bovin. I sat with Paula yesterday and had lunch, and at no time in our discussion did we, I think I did mention you did a great job on the ASU and Coyote facility, but I don't think we had an idea that today there was going to be a, the team is going to talk about how they are moving. And so this afternoon at 2:30, according to Rich Nairn of the Coyotes, they will be discussing it. ESPN has put out a story. They followed Paula's lead on this. She had this last week that the team is going to be moving to Tempe. And she joins us now. We'll get into the Cardinals and ASU and all that stuff in a minute. But first, so the story is this. The Coyotes and ASU are going to build a arena together, and it will be where Karsten Golf Course currently sits. Is that right?
So, yeah, it will be at the sort of Rio Salado McClintock area, which is that Karsten we're talking. And let me just give a little quick promo. At 11 o'clock, we're going to post the story.
Okay.
On AZ Central, Jeff Metcalf has been all over this, doing a really good job. That has some really interesting details that will surprise some people about this, but really good, I think, and exciting. But yeah, it's happening. Like you said, they're having a press conference, and I think this, frankly, Brad, is the best thing that could happen to the Coyotes.
If we were to go back and look at how miscalculated going to the West Side was for the Coyotes, it would have to go down as one of the biggest blunders in our valley, reading the West Side as the place to go. I just don't think there's any other way you can put it. The Cardinals would argue, but the center of the universe is the 101 and the 202, and that's where the center of our valley is now. And I can't think of a bigger blunder that we've had in sports. Paula, you and I have been here 20-plus years. Can you, or is this the top of the list?
Well, I mean, I don't know how it ranks as far as blunders, Brad, but it just clearly didn't work out. I mean, if I think of it from a personal standpoint, and I'm a huge hockey fan,
sure.
If I wanted to just go watch the game, I wouldn't during the week because of traffic. I was just not finding my way out to the West Valley, and I find my way around the 101 and 202 like all the time, you know what I mean? And I know a lot of people that is sort of the heart of where everything is these days. So you're absolutely right in the sense that that was a blunder and this location is 100 times better.
Okay, so the Sun Devils and Coyotes will share this arena, correct?
They will share the land.
They will share the land.
They will be both involved in this.
So there'll be two separate facilities.
I think you're just going to have to go to AZ Central Rad at 11 and check it out.
Brad, you're on to something here.
But it's going to be, yeah. I mean, I think they made a decision that's going to be good for everybody. And it is something that both the school or the school and the organization is involved in. And I think it will benefit both parties.
And so will the basketball team at ASU be involved in this or will they stay in their present location?
You know, Brad, honestly, I don't know. My gut feeling, and this is just my gut feeling,
sure,
is this is something that ASU will continue to be involved in the arena they are in now. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that for a fact. I hope that comes out at the press conference because there frankly are a lot of details about it. I don't know.
What's interesting about this press conference, and this may be pulling the curtain back for for people. For like Paula and myself, is the Coyotes are going to announce that they're going to a new building, and they're going to announce it while they're in the building that they're presently in.
Right.
Right? Versus like a hotel ballroom or something that's near that, or even the vacant land. Like, we're here today to show you that this is where we're moving. So at 2:30 today, they're going to be at the arena in Glendale to talk about how they're moving out of Glendale, which I think is interesting.
Right. And no, that is interesting. And, you know, they're going to have to probably be there a couple more years, or unless they get a lease agreement somewhere else, because this facility is not going to be built in a year. It's going to take a couple years, right? So that part is interesting, too.
Paula Bovin with us, News Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. Okay, so let's take this then a step further. Now you're going to have a vacant building sitting over in Glendale. You could turn that into a mall. You could turn it into a campus for universities. I mean, I've heard that. You're also, if you're Robert Sarver and you're sitting there and you want your new building, and everything that I've heard is pointing towards something getting worked out downtown, but we don't know that as fact, right?
Right.
You could sit there as Glendale, if Glendale could ever figure themselves out, which is a big part of the problem that we have had here in the Valley, is they can't seem to get out of their own way. They could be in a position of leverage. They could say, come over here, we'll cut you a better deal. I mean, from a concert venue standpoint, there's a lot of concert goers that tell me they prefer going to Glendale concerts than downtown, right?
Oh, I've heard that facility does a great job with concerts. It's newer. It is figured out how to do it. But you bring up the Suns, which I think is an interesting point. And, you know, you were one of the first, I think, to bring up that there were talks involving the Native American community around Salt River.
Yep.
And the fields there.
And there still are.
And they still are. And I, you know, from what I've heard, I don't think Robert Sarver wants to be in any kind of situation where he's sharing revenue with another team. So I think their future is still very much in doubt of where they're going to be, in the sense of, are we going to see them stay in downtown Phoenix, or is there something that could be worked out in Scottsdale? I mean, I think that's a possibility, too. You know, there's certainly some investors that are courting people. So we'll see. I don't know.
So I just had Peter King on, and he brought up a very interesting point about, we're shifting over to the Cardinals. He's hearing that Chandler Jones's people are wanting Von Miller money. So,
wow.
Yeah, wow, right, jaw dropper. So, I mean, maybe it's not a jaw dropper, but Steve Keim has brought Chandler Jones here, and yesterday he was terrific once again. And
right. You
could franchise him, which I don't know how that's going to sit. You can work out a long-term deal, I suppose. I mean, there's options that he has, but if Chandler Jones's people, if Peter's hearing in the NFL circles, he's wanting Von Miller money, can Michael Bidwell and Steve Keim afford to not pay him Von Miller money? Does he have the team over the barrel? And I guess is my question to you.
Well, you know, that's a great question. I mean, I don't know if I see this team necessarily reacting the way he wants them to with that. I mean, you know, I think people had some questions about how they handled the people coming and going in their defensive backfield, and they let some go.
Yep.
And I don't, you know, because they felt they weren't worth the money. I don't know how they feel about him, but it, you know, I mean, what we've seen lately, he's worth a lot of money, if not Von Miller money, you know what I mean? So that's a tricky one. I'm very curious to see how they handle that, Brad.
Well, they've also, you know, they gave a lot of money to Tyrann Mathieu, and he's hurt this year. They've given a lot of money to Carson, and I think Carson has regressed some this year. He's aged like fine wine. There's moments where Carson looks great, and there's moments where he just looks like the end is near. They've extended Larry. Tony Jefferson, who's had as good a year as anybody, Paula, in my view, is a free agent at the end of this season. So, you know, I think if you look at Chandler Jones, it's becoming trickier as the season is progressing, I guess is my point.
Sure. Yeah, no question about it. And they've got some big decisions, and how they handle those decisions here in the next, you know, 6-8 months or whatever is going to be huge for the future of their franchise. Tony Jefferson's an interesting one, because he's, you know, he's not getting paid great money. And
right.
Will the team respond? I mean, he's playing very well, so I'm, you know, he certainly do more. But if some of these guys have also tested the market, or had their agents sort of test the market, and maybe weren't feeling they were going to get better dollars elsewhere. So there's some tricky juggling acts the Cardinals have to do. I understand the Fitz one. I mean, Carson Palmer, yeah, he's not looking quite as good, but quarterbacks are hard to find in the NFL, and you don't want to trust that, you know, when your hopes for a Super Bowl are close to it, you don't really want to trust a young guy. So I understand the Carson Palmer one. And Tyrann Mathieu, obviously the injury setback, but we don't know who he's going to be for his career yet. So I don't have a huge issue with a lot of the decisions they make, but I think that they're, you know, the outcome is TBA, as they like to say.
Well, and on the quarterback front, so Jared Goff hasn't sniffed the field, so you could be in that situation. But Dak Prescott has, and lots of teams pass on Dak Prescott. And and Carson Wentz has been out on the field, and he's been up and down. So this team has, if they decide to go to the veteran route, you know, I heard a couple of, in the offseason, well, Matt Ryan could be a guy here. It's fine to throw a bunch of names out there. But it's become very clear to me that if they, and I was on them the last two off seasons of get somebody and develop them, and they're not there. And I think we've seen enough body of work this year in Carson that it's pretty obvious he can make some great plays still. But like any player at that stage of his career, it's not going to last. Let me move over to ASU, because they are becoming a very fascinating story to me. They're going to probably go to Seattle and waste a lot of jet fuel and get their heads kicked in this week, unless Washington just folds after the USC game, which I don't think they will. That sets up Todd Graham's ability to go to a bowl game based solely on his ability to go to Tucson and beat a probably winless in conference Rich Rod team. And if Todd doesn't win that game with the angst that's blowing around out there, there's going to be some people that are going to want to see a change at the top. There's already the defensive coordinator that's what fans want to see. But I guess I guess this territorial cup is actually shaping up to be pretty interesting, Paula. I mean, if they don't win, they lose their rival and they don't go to a bowl game the way that it's shaping up.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's a lot at stake at this game. And, you know, I've certainly heard the frustration with fans, and some are tired of Graham, some are obviously tired of the defensive coordinator and things like that. People have asked me if they think Todd will lose his job if they lose. No. I mean, I think ASU is sort of measuring his body of work, and his body of work, while it has not been as good the past two seasons, I think they're looking at the big picture, what he's done for the program, which has been a lot off the field, on the field early on. I think next year is a big year for him to, you know, see if some of these recruits they've got in are making a difference, and just sort of that they're heading in the right trajectory, right? That's not been the case the past 2 years. But my personal feeling, I think it's dumb for people to talk about, let's fire this guy, because I think you have to look at his body of work. And very few college programs, football programs, benefit from turnover every couple of years. I just don't think it works. So that's where I stand with that one.
Well, I think the academic side, he can point to that. The fundraising and getting behind the stadium effort, I think he can point towards that. But Paula,
the discipline, that stuff, you know? Yeah.
There is that. But Paula, I can't sit here and say it wouldn't surprise me to see Todd's people behind the scenes moving him around to somewhere else. It wouldn't surprise me at all. I wouldn't be surprised if Todd left. And I know I know for ASU to pay him a check to go away, it's north of $12 million. That's not happening.
Right.
But it wouldn't surprise me in the least to see Todd now. I'm not talking about the elite jobs, but if it's a mid-level Big 12 that comes open, it wouldn't surprise me in the least if he got out of here.
Well, I think that's the sort of the nature of college football.
Sure.
You know, they always want to go somewhere where they feel like their stability is going to be better. And if there's an opportunity, you know, at least that means they'll have a couple more years of life. I know that, and we've talked about this ad nauseum, he likes it here. His wife loves it here. I think he's quieted the rumors of the job hopper. I don't think people can say that anymore. You know, frankly, I think what you're talking about would almost be a more likely situation down at U of A if Rich Rodriguez had an opportunity. I think he's really seen the frustration of how difficult it is to win in Tucson, and if something came along, I wouldn't be shocked.
No, I would agree with you. I would agree with you on that. Actually, both coaches wouldn't surprise me if they said, let me get out of here. You know, Todd ahead of it, and Rich, you know, Rich got on a plane last year and went to South Carolina. So I think in the next two to three weeks, in the next 2 to 3 weeks, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens, I think, on both fronts. So,
yeah, it's going to be fun. For two bad teams, this is actually a pretty interesting
week
to follow, no question.
Am I seeing you later today at the Coyotes?
I'm not sure yet. I had another commitment of something to cover, so I'm trying to decide that right now.
Yeah.
But I may see you, Brett.
I may see you over there. Stay well. Thanks.
Okay, you too.
There's Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. Always good to have Paula with us. On the road every Monday, it's good to have Paula Bovin. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content that is up on our website right now that you can check out. It's Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona-centric. Things on the high school, college, pro front. And we get together. We have our television show on Fox Sports Arizona. We get together here 5 days a week. The show airs live at 10:06. Some of you are like, you see the show and it's the same show. No, it airs live at 10:06. And then for the next 24 hours, you can watch it. It's the beauty of it. You can download it. You can share it with your friends and all that stuff. And the TV show on Fox Sports Arizona airs Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays. Appreciate your support and for being with us.